Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
So we all want to eat healthier, and sometimes the expense of getting that healthy, whole, organic food gets in the way.
It's the thing I hear the most often. It's so expensive.
Absolutely.
To buy organic.
So I want to share some tips with everybody today about, you know, the best ways to get the most out of your grocery buying experience, to get, you know, the most health for your buck, because it's just not realistic for some of us to buy everything that we want. So before we launch into today's topic, what are we drinking, Allison?
So another one in our mocktail series, and this one is for my girl, Larissa, who had a watermelon margarita. And this is kind of similar to one that we've done way, way back in the past, which is using fresh watermelon, and you can add tequila to spice it up for your non-prego friends, and it's delicious. So cheers to crunchy on a budget.
Cheers.
So super appropriate for this topic, I want to talk about our sponsor for today. It's Prep Dish. Prep Dish is a healthy meal planning service where every week you get an email with a grocery list and prep ahead instructions so all of your meals are ready for the week. It kind of takes the guesswork out of what's for dinner.
Absolutely. I am really loving using Prep Dish. I've mentioned before that being able to kind of get the guesswork out of what I'm having and be able to have a ton of variety is what's really important to me. But I personally like the freedom of being able to go to the store, make swaps and substitutions as I want to, be able to pick out my own produce, you know, touch and feel everything and make sure I'm getting what my family enjoys. And I also really love that you're getting every week, they're giving you a couple things every week, right? It's the menu. You're getting the couple of hours of instructions for prep over the weekend, and then you're getting the day of menu. And if you take the time to do the, I think it's about, I would say about 2 hours of prep on the weekend once you do your grocery shopping, then the meals take anywhere from like 5 minutes to 20 minutes in order for you to prep day of.
And I'd rather have that time during the week. It's just that little bit of upfront time in the weekend. You get that work done and then you're ready to go for
yeah.
the week.
And I'll say I've been using it for a few weeks, and there's been some weeks where I've been able to do that prep over the weekend, and then there's been some that I haven't. It's not impossible to still do it. Just takes a little bit longer. So that kind of prep time gets all your chopping done and your sauces done and essentially the mess of the kitchen.
That's so awesome.
And you kind of just like get it done in one swoop. So I've been really loving using it. And they've got, especially if you're really focused on certain restrictions, they do have a gluten-free menu as well as a paleo menu. And there's always a couple of additions. They give you a breakfast and a salad that you can kind of make a big batch of and have for lunch every day or every other day. And they also do, there's like a quickie menu so that like, if this is the day you're like, have no time, you need to feed somebody,
yeah.
like it'll get you there really quickly.
I love that they give you that ingredients list so you can figure out those swaps, like you said. So maybe you're gluten-free, but you still don't like, I don't know, a fish. You can swap it out for something different. And I love, like, the planner in me loves the way that they structure your grocery list because it's organized the way that grocery store is organized. So you can go to the section that they say you can go to your vegetable section, get everything you need there. So it's just it's just so logically organized in a way that I would do anyway. So, but it just takes that out of my hands and I don't have to do it.
Definitely. Definitely. So I have been really enjoying it. You've been really enjoying it. And of course, we've got a deal for our listeners.
Yeah. So Prep Dish is giving our listeners a 2-week free trial. And all you really have to do is go to prepdish.com/crunchy. That's C-R-U-N-C-H-Y. And you can get 2 weeks free. So just give it a try. Maybe you'll love it as much as we do. Take that guesswork out of eating, like we had said, and give yourself some time back.
Definitely. So let's launch into today's topic, grocery store crunchy on a budget. So we mentioned this kind of at the top of the episode, and I think it's just the thing that everyone knows. Eating a healthy diet is a little bit more costly than eating an unhealthy diet. So, and there's now research behind it. So there's been a Harvard study done by the Harvard School of Public Health. And they basically said, you know, eating the fruits and veggies and fish and nuts, like the things that we all find really healthy, versus the unhealthy diet of kind of, you know, the processed things, the refined grains, on average costs about $1.50 more per day per person.
Which is considerable.
It's considerable. At first, I thought to myself, oh, that's not a lot. But then when you look at it, it's about $2,200 per year for a family of four.
And if you
that's
think,
a lot.
Yeah. And if you think about a family that's maybe not necessarily struggling to put food on the plate, but definitely keeping it under that certain amount just to sustain, that $1.50 is a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And so when you think about what the choices that they're making, it's just tough. It's so
tough. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it is really easy for me to say, but I always say when it comes to food, right, you pay now or you pay later. You either put the right things in your body or you pay the doctor later.
Yeah.
But that's also really easy to say when I am in a position of being able to go to the grocery store and buy the things that I want to buy. But I also know that that's not everybody's scenario. But some people are in kind of that midway position where they could make some choices to buy certain things, kind of more healthy, more organic, and maybe skimp on some of the other things. And that's a lot of what I want to talk about is if you are in that midway where, or maybe if even if you are not in that midway, but you want to save money when you go to the grocery store, and you do want to prioritize things in some way, kind of what should you do?
Yeah.
But it also gets me thinking. I think the thing that really got me when I was reading that study, and I'll definitely link it, is I had this question of, is eating healthy really expensive or is eating unhealthy really cheap?
That's a good point.
Do you know
point.
What I mean?
It's a really good point.
Do and you know I, what I mean? It kind of... Yes, one is more expensive than the other for sure. But is one just what food, real food costs?
Yeah. So it makes you think, you know, they're having to put the money into processing whatever this is. So it should theoretically be more expensive,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's a process more than just sort of picking something or, you know, basic slaughter of an animal or whatever. And so there should be more cost there. So what are they doing that is reducing the cost of that?
Yeah. Right. So just, I don't know, one of those questions that I'll never know the answer to. But
and do we want to?
probably not. So let's launch into some of these tips and, you know, just talk through kind of where I think you could, move things around in order to make some decision and to make things a little bit more financially easier. So I think tip number one is just 100% planning. There's no way to do this without planning. If you go into the grocery store without a plan, you will come out with things you don't need. You will come out with more food than you need for the week. You will, I always shop hungry. So I just come out with just stuff I really don't need. But when you have meals planned out, and I'm talking your dinners, your lunches, you know, as much as you can calculate exactly what you need for the week without wasting food and throwing food away, because throwing food away is throwing money away, of course.
We're so bad about this, and something we're trying to get better at is not using what we've got in the pantry and using what we've got in the fridge.
Yep.
It's
absolutely
horrible.
Absolutely. And, you know, I also talk about planning too, because I think, and I've been guilty of this as well, and I bet you have too, is that if you don't plan for everything, you inevitably don't have something that you need for some recipe that you're making. And then you make an additional trip to the grocery store that week. And then you come out with like $50 full of stuff in your cart versus like salt
yes.
that you went to the grocery store for. So like, plan as much as you can. That helps you kind of know exactly what you're going to spend, know exactly how much food you need for the week so that you don't have to go back to the store. And to your point about not looking in your pantry, you know, especially if you, whether you're using a service like PrepDish and you've got your grocery list or you're making your grocery list yourself from the recipes that you want to make, after that list is made, I always try to make a point to go back in my fridge and go back in my pantry and see what I already have, because inevitably you do. Or I'll find things like, I need, and I'm just making stuff up, right? Like, I need rice and I'm out of rice, but I've got farro, and yeah, I'll just replace it. Because why buy that extra thing that week when that's you've already got something that works just as well?
And you probably do something similar with vegetables. Like if it calls absolutely for collard greens, but you have kale, you know, just use what you've got.
Absolutely.
I like that tip.
So tip number one, 100%, you have to plan. Tip number two is prioritize. So I alluded to this a little bit, and it's just that, of course, if we could buy everything organic, if we could buy 100% whole foods, if we could buy, you know, all the things we want to buy, we would. But some people don't have that luxury. And so I think it's important to kind of categorize the things that we want to buy and know that everything doesn't have to be organic. And for me, at least, there are certain things that are more important to buy, organic or kind of healthier options than others. So I would say at the very top of my list are dairy and meat. Mm-hmm. So those are things that are kind of known to have additives, known to have hormones. One is a byproduct of another. And so for me, you know, if you are putting anything kind of organic, pasture-raised, free range, like any of those types of things that are healthier in your cart, make it those things.
Mm-hmm. I think this is often where there's that big cost differential. So it's really easy to look at, I mean, chicken breasts are a perfect example. If you're looking at organic, hormone-free, non-additive chicken versus, you know, the kind that comes 19 in a pack, yes, it's way, 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 way cheaper, but it's that cost now or later, like you said.
Absolutely. So I would say dairy and meat are my top two. And then I would focus you on the dirty 15. So have you heard of this?
I think so, but I don't actually know what is in that.
Yeah, so it used to be called the Dirty Dozen. Now it's the Dirty 15. I think they're adding more things. So essentially, it is the list of produce, fruits and vegetables that have the highest pesticide like residue percentages. And it's also a lot of the things on this list are also things that you would eat whole without taking the skin off.
Okay.
So big things on that list are things like apples, tomatoes, strawberries. They either have really thin skin that you eat, high rates of pesticides are needed to kind of like keep those plants alive.
Would grapes be on that list?
I'm not sure if grapes are on the list.
We'll have to,
have to check.
Yeah.
But I can actually there's a lot of like really great handy pictures out on the internet of like that you can just keep with you as a reference.
Maybe you can put those on Pinterest.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would definitely focus, you know, my number three is anything in the Dirty 15. And then the other thing that I think is definitely important is eggs, because again, those eggs are coming from animals that, you know, may or may not be treated with hormones. You don't know what they're being fed. And then, you know, for some people, it's also really important how animals are treated, right? Mm-hmm. And so buying kind of the cage-free organic eggs is important. Things that...
Really quick on the eggs. Every time one of those chicken tractor trailers drives past your car, have you seen these?
No.
There are these... You've probably seen and have, like, completely wiped it from your memory. But it's these open back tractor trailers. They have like holes all in them and they're filled from top to bottom with chickens, live chickens. You'll see them because feathers are coming. Every time I see them, I'm like, reminder why I eat the eggs that I eat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will also tell you, I'm not a big fan of, I know a lot of people, the way that they save money in terms of grocery shopping is they go to like five different stores. Like they've got one store where they get the meat and that's the best value, and they go to another store for, and I'm just, who has time for that? And so.
But I like this idea of being able to prioritize.
Yes. But what I would say about eggs is, you know, the eggs that you get from your farm are going to be a pretty consistent price with the eggs that you get from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So it's like an even kind of more connect. If you've got a farm nearby where like, you know, their practices, and you can also support a local farmer, get your eggs from there, even milk. And there's a lot of, I know there's some services near us that are kind of like trying to bring back the milkman and deliver things like that right to your door.
Oh, neat.
So,
that's the most quaint Isn't that adorable?
So yeah, so the things for me definitely to prioritize: dairy, meat, the dirty 15, and eggs. If you need to deprioritize some things, I would say, so akin to the dirty 15 is the clean 15. So those are the things that are the least likely to, or not least likely, they all have pesticides, but lower levels of pesticide, and usually things with kind of a heartier rind. So watermelons, avocados, even like things like cauliflower. Yes, it's open, but they're like a really hardy plant that's like hard to kill. And so they don't need to use as much product on it.
Oh, interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that.
So, and then things like spices, things like pasta. Those are the things that I would say, like, if you need to save some money, like, save there. Hmm. So prioritize. The other tip, tip number three, is buying whole.
Wait, quick thing on spices.
Yes.
If you live near a major metropolitan, you'll find spice stores. And so you can go in and buy your spices bulk.
Oh.
Yeah. There's one. So we're in the Philadelphia area. There's one in the Reading Terminal Market where you can buy your spices bulk. And it's similar to like any bulk store. You get plastic baggies and scoop it out of these big containers. And it's just a super inexpensive way to get really good spices, especially if you cook a lot. So they have a lot of great Indian spices often, and they're just amazing. So another
tip. Love that. Can you take me to some of those places? You know, I don't know the city.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll drive, because she also doesn't drive in this.
I mean, I can, but you don't want me to. All right. So tip number three is buy whole. So anytime that you are given a food where it has been chopped up for you, or like given to you in a way that's easier for you, there's always an upcharge.
Guilty.
I know. So buy things whole. A block of cheese is going to be less expensive than a bag of shredded cheese, and you're going to get more. Buy a whole chicken versus buying, you know, the cut up chicken breast, chicken thighs, whatever it is.
So do you know how to butcher?
Sure. Oh, I mean, well, no, I don't know. I don't know how to do anything fancy. I cook up a whole chicken and then break it apart.
Huh, okay. See, I don't like touching chicken. It's a weird thing about me.
Even if like a weird cooked chicken?
I don't. Well, then I'm using a knife and fork. But no, I hate touching raw chicken. I have like a weird thing about it. Cal makes fun of me. Like, I will go to great lengths to
avoid
touching.
So he cooks all the meat in the house?
No, I'll cook it, but like I won't touch it with my hands. I will not touch it with my hands.
All right. You would have to touch it with your hands to like.
Yeah, no.
At some point to make a piece of like a whole chicken. Okay. And this one I know you're guilty of, because I was talking to you about it earlier, is like the chopped up fruit. There is no greater ripoff than a chopped up fruit.
And I know that intellectually, but it's so I do fruit with my yogurt every morning, coconut yogurt. And I buy it this way because the prep is such a pain in the butt and I just won't do it. I just like
my, what do you mean prep? It's just cutting up a piece of fruit.
But I use like seven different types of fruit.
But so cut them up on your prep day.
No.
Allison,
so much easier. I'm sorry.
You're a brat.
I am a brat.
Don't buy the fruit. Even if you can, don't buy the chopped up fruit. It is a ripoff.
But it's convenient.
Okay, fine. And then my last one was exactly what you said about buying in bulk, whether it's grains, nuts, seeds, spices, chocolate, even, right? Like, no one needs an entire bag of chocolate. You can go buy like a couple of pieces in the bulk bin to like satisfy your sweet tooth. But it's great for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's cheaper. It's like less wasteful in terms of packaging.
You can even use your own reusable containers when you do buy in bulk.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are on a strict budget, you can buy just what you need. You don't have to, like, inevitably, I don't know about you, but if I buy a bag of rice, I usually have like just this tiny bit at the end that's not good enough for a meal. And then you constantly have this like rotation of bags where you're left and needing another bag to make the whole meal. So it's a great way to buy exactly what you need and at a cheaper cost.
another one that I will show you in the city. There's a great place called Nuts For You. It's great.
That's not a real store name,
Nuts
right?
Nuts For You. Oh, yeah. We're going to take you there. It's great. They have all sorts of bulk products just like that, like seeds, nuts, grains, all that kind of stuff. It's awesome.
Okay. I love it. All right. Tip number four. Learn to read the price labels and don't gravitate to pretty packaging.
I'm not guilty of this one.
Okay. So I am guilty of this. Like, my husband had to like teach me how to read a label because I'm very quick to be like, this one looks like it's more, get it. And it'll be like something that's like tall and thin versus something short and wide or something. And I've decided the short and wide one is more. You know, it very clearly will tell you how much you're paying per ounce on almost every label. And that's a thing that you should look at versus kind of looking at the outside packages, because it's marketing and it's meant to trick you. So totally important to look at that label. And also, I am guilty of this. And thank goodness my husband is better at math than me, and not easily tricked by these things. But like, you'll see a sale and it says like, buy two for this amount. You don't have to buy two. And it clearly says how much it costs to buy one. And if you don't need two, don't buy two.
Yes. That's when waste comes into play for us.
Absolutely. And at the same time, like talking about the prettier packaging, we talked about this in a previous episode too, with like grocery store hacks. Always look above and below your eye level. You might not find the prettiest packaging, but you'll find, you know, products that are just as good at what's at eye level. The eye level stuff is usually the very well-known brands that are marked up because it's kind of the premium well-known one. But the things above and below, you'll find, you know, the store brand or even the store organic brand, and you shouldn't shy away from buying those things. They're the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And some of these organic store brands are becoming a brand of their own because people are gravitating towards them.
For sure. I can't tell you how many things we have in our house that are Wegmans brand or Whole Foods brand. Mm-hmm. They're brands that I trust. I mean, you certainly still look at the label, but, you know, just always above and below eye level, because that's the spot that's meant to be kind of
they pay easy. To be there.
They pay to be there. Tip number five is buying in season, any fresh produce and freezing, or just buying frozen. So we've talked about that you don't really lose much in nutrients in freezing something or buying something that's already frozen. So a couple of things about that. One, when things are in season, they're a little bit cheaper. And if there's something that you really love or something's on sale, there's no reason not to buy it in bulk and freeze it. And, you know, that can be berries or it can be vegetables. It could be herbs. It could be anything. And the same thing with buying frozen. You know, there's no reason why you can't buy frozen veggies. And for some people, that's better because it's ease of use. And then, you know, they are conveniently chopped up for you. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is if you've got fresh produce, and even if you haven't bought in bulk, but you've got some left over and you know you're not going to use it, don't let it sit there and go bad. Freeze it, and mm-hmm. you can absolutely use it later.
That's a good advice for meat as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think often we get a little, I don't know, panic as we get close to the expiration date. But if you don't plan on buying or using it right away, just freeze it, pop mm-hmm. it out and thaw it before you cook it, and it's just good.
Yeah, one thing that we often do, we're not eating as much meat in the house these days, but we used to, we do definitely buy, like we sometimes will buy whole chicken, but we'll buy, you know, the prepackaged, like chicken thighs are a big one in our house, but I'll open the whole thing and then I will freeze portions of it. Like I'll freeze it in two packs.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And, you know, if you're someone that eats a ton of meat in the house, or you're going to be doing something like that, I've seen people invest in those, like, what are those things that like take the air out of?
Oh, yes. The vacuum seal.
Yeah. Like a vacuum seal. Because that'll keep things even better than, you know, sticking things in a Ziploc.
That's a good idea.
All right. Tip number six is change your protein focus. So on the topic of meat, meat is one of the most expensive things that is in our cart. And of course, much more expensive when, like you were talking about, when we talk about the kind of no additive type meat versus the generic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge price difference. But if you are a family that eats meat daily and you are trying to cut down on your grocery bill, the easiest place you can do it is in terms of meat. And consider replacing one or two or three nights with an alternative protein. You know, like everyone's into like meatless Monday now, and maybe you just start with that. But there's a lot of great alternative protein options that I think we just don't think of. I know on nights like this when we're recording, Bill does breakfast for dinner. It's really easy.
I love breakfast.
And breakfast for dinner, mm-hmm. their protein is eggs. Like, you don't have to have bacon with it. You can do, you know, eggs and avocado toast and whatever else. But there's no meat in that meal, but you're still getting protein. But then, you know, other things like quinoa, beans, lentils, other whole grains. They're fantastic sources of protein. I will say none of them by themselves are kind of what I would consider a complete protein. There's a lot of like amino acids and vitamins and nutrients that you would get in a piece of meat. But a combination of those things kind of eaten throughout the day do give you that kind of complete protein. There's no way for me to really suggest like what combination of things for any one yeah. person, because I don't know the rest of their diet. But, you know, nothing's going to happen if you don't have any meat that day and you just have some beans for dinner.
I wonder, so I think maybe I'm not alone here, but what I struggle with is when I'm doing a meat-free meal, coming up with ideas for something that would satisfy the whole family. Maybe we do an episode on some of your favorite meatless recipes, or if you could post some, I think that'd be really helpful.
Sure. And I do know, you know, when we went vegan specifically, we were eating meat a good amount of days and then we just like went to nothing. And sometimes it just feels like your meal is missing something yeah. when you don't have that piece of meat on the plate. But I'll tell you, last night we had Kung Pao broccoli with black rice and there's no meat on it. But it's a little bit about changing your mindset and knowing that like what you need to satiate your body is on the plate. And you don't need that kind of piece of meat to automatically equal
yeah.
protein.
But see, that's such a cool idea for food. I think we should get into that.
Okay. I'm totally down for that. But I really will tell you that is that will cut down your grocery bill for sure. And try it one night a week and see how you do. And kind of build that up if that's important. Tip number 7 is buying on sale. It seems pretty simple, right? Definitely don't buy just to buy because it's on sale. I know some of, like, we can be guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
But buy things that you know that you'll eat. And again, things that you could freeze or things that will keep, you know, some things just keep long because they're going in your pantry or they'll keep long enough for you to use it.
Or you can freeze it.
Totally. And then also, you know, when you're at the grocery store with your grocery list, your prep dish list, whatever it is, and you see something on sale that you can swap out, that's a great time to do that. So, you know, if you're buying flounder for your meal, but grouper is on sale, get grouper. Like if that's a fish that your family eats, or, you know, consider swapping something out if you get to the store and surprise, sale. and then always be a rewards member at whatever grocery store. It's like one of those like mindless things. I know some grocery stores like give you a free turkey at the end of the year
yeah.
or whatever it is. Or, you know, you at least do, you come away at every purchase with like some money off. And it's just kind of a, you know,
a simple way to save
it.
Yeah. A why not type of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And my last one is, and I think this could be its own topic. My last tip is reuse what you can. So the easiest tip I can give you is like save scraps for stock. Whether you're, so I keep 2 Ziplocs in my freezer. And when I am chopping carrots, when I am chopping celery, when I am chopping asparagus, when I'm chopping onion, whatever it is, there's scraps that are coming. Like you always chop the top and the bottom of the carrot off. Mm-hmm. You always chop the bottom of the celery off because it's a little bit thicker. Every time I chop those things, I don't throw them in the trash. I throw them in a Ziploc and I put them in my freezer.
Oh, neat.
Or every time, like it's actually not often, but like if we have a whole chicken, I save all the bones. I'm like whenever it's done, like especially like the end piece of the chicken, I put that in a separate baggie too. So whenever you have bones from chicken, save that off. Mm. Once you've got like a gallon size full, at least I like to make it a little bit more. You just make stock out of it. All you need is that that mix of veggies or the bones and water. And whether you have a crock pot or an instant pot, that makes it infinitely faster. But you can make stock that you can then, you know, make soups out of or stews out of. And not only is that not wasteful because you were going to throw them away, but it's essentially you get another meal out of your scraps.
I don't do this today. And I love this idea.
Sometimes, and I'll tell you, sometimes I forget, but I try to kind of like pack those things away, especially when and prep day, when you're getting all your meals prepped for the week is a great time to just like have those baggies out and just stuff them full as you're chopping.
That's a good idea.
And the other tip I would give you is like, consider growing things yourself. It doesn't have to be a huge garden. There's really little things that you can do indoors. Some people live in apartments or in urban areas or are not allowed to have gardens at their space. But you can replant herbs and like you don't even need to buy seeds. You literally replant the food that you already have. You can keep the bottoms of green onions. They're easy to grow indoors. Or if you do have the space, you can grow a big garden. I've never tried this before, but I've been seeing this a lot everywhere is people are now even, saving and freezing tomato scraps. Like, you know, you cut the ends of the tomato off, and then they're like using once they have enough to make tomato sauce.
Oh, neat.
So there's like tons of ideas out on the internet. Like if you just kind of Google, I don't know, ways to reuse your food, and you'll find a lot of things too that are not necessarily using food to make other food. You'll see things like, you know, once you're done with your lemon, put it down the garbage disposal to kind of like refresh everything.
Yeah, that one I've
seen. And things like that. But any way that you can find to reuse what you already have. And sometimes that even means I have just this tiny bit of chicken and a little bit of these vegetables left over. Like, let me throw it in a pot and make a stew. Like, I think there's plenty of ways to just make a meal out of like a hodgepodge of things that are in your fridge without letting it go to waste.
An easy way is to make a frittata.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because you can throw anything in a frittata.
Anything. Then you just get eggs. And eggs are relatively inexpensive.
And protein.
I can't wait to start my herb garden again this year. I love having fresh herbs in the summer.
Yeah. We had a great sunny day a few days ago.
Snowed today.
So we started... Bill started working on the garden and kind of like digging things out, and then it downpoured. So now everywhere he dug up is a mud pit.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't know. So we started some seeds indoors at this point, like some of the ones that one of the big ones that we've been doing with the kids is we bought a cantaloupe and then we took all the seeds out and we replanted the seeds in a egg container. That's and they're like horrible. Spraying them every day. So,
although I have to say, Claire was over and found that and decided that she wanted to ruin all of your planted seeds. But I think she only got to one.
They're still alive.
That's good.
Still alive. So those are kind of my big tips, things I think can be easily applied. If you guys have other tips, I would certainly love to hear them. We're going to try to get Allison to stop buying chopped up fruit. Mm-mm. It's my goal. Mm-mm.
Although I did change natural deodorant, so, you know, pigs can fly.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I know that, you know, again, like we started talking about at the top of the show, of course, we all want to buy the healthiest thing in the store. Sometimes our finances just don't allow us to do that, or sometimes we just don't want to spend what it costs. So I think these are some things that could easily be implemented. and maybe not all, maybe some that work for you. Definitely let us know if you decide to give any of these a try. Definitely let us know if you've got others we should add to the list. You know, either message us and we'll share them with the group, or feel free to write them down at crunchycocktailhour.com on our show notes so others can see them. But I hope you guys found this helpful. Allison, yeah, will you do any of these?
Yeah, there was a couple definitely that I picked up on. I love the idea of the scraps and saving those. And I think there were several that, you know, I didn't immediately poo-poo like the fruit. So
come on.
I know. It's one of those things that it's a total lazy hack for me, but if it gets me to eat fruit instead of chocolate bars while pregnant, I'm going
to
do it.
You're going to touch chicken.
No,
chopping up fruit.
I am not touching chicken. I'm sorry. There's some weird things about me. That is one of them.
I mean, it's not the weirdest thing. It's not like I've never heard that before.
I can't. But it's weird. I'm not that way about other meats.
Oh, it's just chicken?
It's just chicken.
So you can touch beef.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I know. I don't get it either.
You're a complex individual, my friend.
I think you mean weird.
Yes. You said it.
I did. I own my weirdness.
All right, guys, as I mentioned, we'll link all these tips for you in our show notes. I'll definitely link to that Harvard study as well. You can find our drink recipe on silverlineandwine.com. And of course, give us a follow on social media. And definitely subscribe to the podcast if you like what you hear. Leave us a review. We would appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.